It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, in Luke chapter 10, you know, we've been studying this parable of the Good Samaritan this week, and we've found a lot of wonderful things here. The way that this parable comes to us, the context in which this parable comes, is crucial to understand the meaning of the whole thing. Because this lawyer had come to Jesus asking for eternal life, how he might obtain it. And of course, you know, in today's terms, that is every evangelist's dream, you know, say this prayer, sign on the dotted line, do this, do this, do this, and you're in. And no one would follow up, and, you know, it'd be terribly sad when this person falls off and people can't understand why. Well, anyways, the point here being that that is not the way that Jesus dealt with this young man, or whether he's young, we don't know. He was a lawyer. Jesus dealt similarly with the rich young ruler, who we do know was young and had great influence in society. But here, Jesus holds out in both cases the law. He has this lawyer cite the law. What is your reading of it? What is the greatest commandment, if you will? And everyone knew that the summary of that was found in the great Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, Jesus responds, do this and you will live. If you keep this law perfectly, you'll have life. Now, that should have dropped this lawyer to his knees, because the law was given to show sin. The law, Paul said that in Galatians 3 and 4, that the whole purpose of the law was to crush, to show us our sin. It was a tutor to bring us to Christ. And then, of course, for the Christian, it becomes a rule of obedience, a rule of gratitude. But here, this did nothing for this young man, this ruler. This lawyer comes to Jesus, and then he continues by asking the question, well, who is my neighbor? This, of course, was no small debate among all the religious leaders of the day. They had narrowed it down that the neighbor was the Jew to the Pharisee. And here Jesus is exposing their own hypocrisy, where the first he cites and he quotes, he gives this grand parable. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. Now there are a few striking things here that demonstrate clearly what Jesus is doing. Will anyone care? Well, he says first a priest comes by, a holy man, and totally avoids him. And then a Levite who serves the priest does the same. And Jesus was making the point. This was a Jew who had been beaten and robbed. The Jews won't even help their own. This was the basic requirement of the law, and the Jews weren't loving each other. And Jesus here is exposing the utter guilt and shame and sin. For Jesus himself was a Jew, and they hated him. What would they do to Jesus? They would strip him of his clothing. They would wound him. And they, his own people, would leave him for dead. This is why Romans 3 says, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they've practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. So we could make the point. How dare they come in self-righteousness thinking they could merit anything before God? How dare they come with their convictions and perfect outward religion when the basic requirement of the law, the summary of the law, was slandered among them? They hated one another. And even the King of Kings they hated. And so, in Luke 10:33, Jesus drops the bomb. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. And so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." Jews hated Samaritans, and it was reciprocated. And this foreigner sees this afflicted Jew, and his heart, notice the emphasis that Jesus gives here, in his heart went out to him, and he bandages him, he pours oil and wine on him, sets him on his own animal. We picture him walking and the wounded man riding, and he takes him to the inn, and he stayed with him, and he continues to love him, and then notice the emphasis, "I will return for him." You know, the shock that must have happened on this lawyer. Because Jesus is playing off the well-known story in the Old Testament with Ahaz. Jews willingly forgot who Samaritans really were. They were really of their own people. You know, in 2 Chronicles 28, we have the very event that Jesus is playing off and telling of this parable. They had a wicked king in Judah, King Ahaz. What did God do? Well, this king was so wicked and did so many bad things and led the people so apostate that God carried away all these captives from Judah to Damascus to the king of Syria, 120,000. Then all these captives are handed over to the king of Israel in Samaria. So what happens? The people began to fear. All these captives from Judah are standing there. This is 2 Chronicles 28:15. Notice the connection. "Then the men who were designated by name rose up and took the captives. And from the spoil they clothed all who were naked among them, dressed them and gave them sandals, gave them food and drink and anointed them. And they let all the feeble ones ride on donkeys. So they brought them to their brethren at Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria." Jesus has this account in mind. It's very clear. And what he was exposing here is hypocrisy. "Look at how your people have been loved by the Samaritans, you Jews." That's what he's saying here to this young Jewish lawyer. The evil of his heart was on display, and he should have fallen that moment, because what had been essentially revealed there was a display of grace. Judah would have been wiped out were it not for this kindness. And ultimately, the whole parable reminds us of what Jesus had come to do for sinners. You know what the Jews labeled Jesus? This is John 8:48. This is so important. "Then the Jews answered and said to him, 'Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?'" Well, Jesus was no Samaritan, but that's what they all labeled him. And now you can understand the parable. Ultimately, it was Jesus who acted as the good Samaritan in the parable. He came to this world and found nothing but stripped, wounded, dead, dying, and dead sinners. And he had compassion on the multitudes. He bandaged wounds. He healed with the new wine of the gospel, his blood. And he has given us a place in his inn. He has committed himself to be with us always and to come back to us. That kind of knowledge, Jesus is saying, of his grace drives us to love one another. And you see, this is what we must know, that when we are confronted with the law and our selfishness and our sin, our wicked hearts, to see how great we do not love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and our neighbors as ourselves, that we are prone to hate God and neighbor. It is then that we are ready to know how we can be redeemed from all our sin and misery. And that redemption, that full bandaging of our soul's impurity comes through this Jesus who has loved like this, who has delivered like this, who has redeemed with this kind of compassion and care our own souls. That brings about a confession that I cannot earn anything before God, that this has all been earned for me in his blood and righteousness. And it is his love for me that will drive me to radically love God and my neighbor. that it would be unthinkable to hate or despise or disregard or to not speak to or to not help someone in need, especially of my brethren, even the most unlovable. We have no right to that. I guess it presupposes that one thinks that for some reason they're lovable to God. What makes any of us lovable to God? Nothing. You know you were and foul to him in your attitude and actions, and yet he has committed himself as a Christian, as you are a Christian, he has committed himself to carry you through to the end. And Jesus here asked the question, so which of these do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? The man answered, he who showed mercy on him. Jesus says, go and do likewise. Was Jesus saying, here's the way you will enter eternal life? Well, our very confession is that our love is imperfect in this life. But in confessing our failure to love God and neighbor, and receiving such transforming grace in this love that has been shown to us out of gratitude, because I've received Christ's righteousness, I will assuredly be empowered to love my neighbor as myself. And as is shown in this parable. If I'm not, and I'm harboring bitterness and wrath to people, and have acted like a brawling fool in the past, and continue so doing, what does that say? Jesus says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. What does that mean? I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. People went through their rituals. They went through their acts of worship, all of their ceremonies and new moons and Sabbaths they kept. And Jesus is saying, they're robbers of men. How so? God desires mercy and not sacrifice. What does it matter if we do all this, do all of our acts of worship, come to worship and have no compassion and love for sinners like us? We would show we're right with God when we love our neighbor. Go learn what God is really after. What must you know then today, my friends, to live and die in the joy of this comfort? Three things. The greatness of your sin and misery, how you're set free from your sin and misery, and how you are to be thankful to God for such deliverance. You want to know what you need to know? Look at this parable. Look at what you've received if you are a Christian today. Go and do likewise.
Well, that's all the time we have today. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our goal in bringing you Abounding Grace each and every day is that you would grow and abound in grace through the study and the teaching and preaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about the broadcast or anything that you've heard here on the broadcast, or if you have any questions about your own relationship with Jesus Christ, we would love to talk with you. You can call us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can also access our website, lindenurc.com. Find out a bit more about us. Take advantage of some of the sermons that we've posted online there, as well as email us with any questions or concerns you might have, especially prayer requests. We would love to pray for you in any way that we can. Again, lindenurc.com or call 360-318-0429. You can always write to us at 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. 98264 is our zip code. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. And for directions, you can either visit our website, lindenurc.com, or call 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today, and until next time, God bless.